You're listening to episode 55 of IDRA Class Notes.
We started realizing that there's something from the private sector that's important for us to really take notice: customer service. And there's pluses and minuses in that, but when we say A-plus customer service, at a minimum, when you walk into a campus, the first faces you see of the staff should be smiling faces. And this can be taken, you know, I don't want a thin veneer of friendliness, but if the smile is not there, if that's the top, it's downhill all the way.
Welcome to IDRA's Class Notes podcast. I'm Lori Posner. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We encourage you to share your comments about this show. There will be details at the end of this podcast on how to do that. If you like our show, we ask that you tell three others or leave a review for us on iTunes. That helps others find us. We've set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of Class Notes is available. If you are not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you stay up to date. Just go to our website to sign up. And don't forget to sign up for our free monthly Graduation for All electronic newsletter and our new IDRA News or IDRA News electronic newsletter. Again, you can sign up at our website. That's www.idra.org. Our topic today is family-friendly at the school door with Aurelio Montemayor. Aurelio is IDRA's lead trainer and director of our Parent Information and Resource Center for Texas. He brings extensive experience in working with school personnel, parents, and students. His career in education spans four decades and has included teaching at the high school, middle school, and elementary school levels. Aurelio received a bachelor's degree in English and philosophy from St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas, and a master's degree in bilingual education from Antioch Graduate School of Education in Ohio. Aurelio is passionate about the power of parent and community engagement for leadership development and effective education. He is a key developer of our model for parent engagement and in helping schools, parents, and community groups rethink how they work together. Aurelio, in an article called Customer Service for School Improvement, which is forthcoming in our May issue of the IDRA newsletter, you've written that A-plus customer service is critical in giving new energy and direction to the overall parent-family involvement work of a school district. Can you tell us, what is A-plus customer service in schools and how does it impact family involvement?
Well, Laurie, first of all, let me back up a little bit on that. You know, we have a broad framework where we look at the parent engagement from the point of view of parent leadership. And it assumes that there is a relationship of peers between families and school. But in all our work with schools and our conversations, one thing that keeps cropping up is, when I went to the school, so-and-so or the secretary or somebody at the front desk made an ugly face at me, or at least did not, and it keeps coming up. And so then you go, okay, then we're going to do the workshop, we're going to do whatever. We started realizing that there's something from the private sector that's important for us to really take notice: customer service. And there's pluses and minuses in that, but when we say A-plus customer service, at a minimum, when you walk into a campus, the first faces you see of the staff should be smiling faces. And this can be taken, you know, I don't want a thin veneer of friendliness, but if the smile is not there, if that's the top, it's downhill all the way. And when you consider the parents that we're most concerned about, parents that are poor, parents that don't speak the language, that they themselves might have limited formal education, all these other things, when they walk into this building that does not have happy memories for them, or at least their history of education, and there is not even a welcoming feeling, how can you get to the point of having any kind of a relationship or a real engagement? So the A-plus customer service is, okay, we have other things to think about. But one thing we need to see is, when you walk in the door, consider me a customer in the sense that, are you in the school, are there to serve me and find out what I need?
What is it look like when you have this kind of customer service model? What are the key components of it?
Well, first of all, it's a context akin to the customer's always right. You know, when I walk in, you're looking at me. If you're a secretary, you're a clerk, or you're the principal, it doesn't matter what it is, your thought has to be, this person is here for a good reason. His or her child is here, and we are serving that child. So I have to say, what do you want? What do you need? Or welcome. We're glad you're here. In other words, the ethos, the environment is arms around me. And I walk in, I feel welcome. And there are many signals to that. Obviously, you can't, there's not a cookie mold for it, but we all know when we spot it. You know when you walk into a store, if you feel welcome or not. In any place, you're new in a community, you walk into a church, you know whether you feel welcome or not by how people look at you, the whole environment. Is the environment geared towards the one walking in the door being welcomed? Or is it, who are you? Why are you here? You know, and so it's that kind of a thing. By the way, the participants, I did a workshop recently in a medium-sized school district for secretaries, clerks, and other people there. And they spotted it very quickly. They know it's a little bit like, there's a Supreme Court thing about, what was it, pornography, something like that. I can't define it easily, but I know when I can spot it when I see it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good term legally, but you can spot the customer service environment when you see it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that separate from research that was done many years ago when they started looking at schools that performed well. One thing that they noticed in schools, you take two schools, had comparable school populations, similar kind of needs, and this one was working and the other one wasn't. What you noticed in one of the things, aside from there was principal leadership, there was disciplines, other things, but one of the things was that there was an ethos, an environment that was welcoming. You know, it was positive, it was felt good, it was warm, that warmth. And it's sometimes hard to pin down in a specific thing, but the sum total of it is, do we have a fortress or prison-like school, or do we have one that's open and welcoming? You know?
And how do you, how do school staff themselves identify the kinds of changes that they can make that would move the school from being unwelcoming to family friendly? In other words, what are the specific kinds of things that they do?
Okay, I'm going to answer that from what they said, but then also from the point of view of somebody who wants to do staff development to have that happen, I'll add something else. Mm-hmm. They started realizing that just in the same way that in a store that's saying, when people walk in, welcome and ask them, can I help you? It's the same kind of a thing where they support each other in saying, you know, this lady just walked in. She probably is somebody's mother who's in this campus. If you don't talk to her, signal somebody else. Would you welcome her? You know, there's like you network with each other to make sure that as people come into our campus, somebody tells them, we're glad you're here, and how can we help you? Do you have an appointment, or why did you come? Stuff like that. And this is very important because you know that for protection of the children, for example, any adult going into a public school needs to sign in and identify themselves. And that's a very rational request. It's a very important need. We don't want people just walking in and out of schools because our children are there, and we don't know if somebody comes in with bad intentions. So at a minimum, there's signs in, as you come in, says, please sign in at the principal's office or at the counter or whatever. But, you know, it's very different when you walk in and they glare at you like, did you sign in? As, hi, welcome. Would you, before we talk, could you please sign in? This is for your protection and the children's protection. Completely different, you know. And so in many campuses, an unaware staff takes on the negative task of finding out whether you're a bad person or a good person, and they frown at you as you're signing in and looking at you because they don't recognize you, to looking at you, you know, and seriously checking out, is this a person that should be here or not, but in a context where your assumption is this is a good person. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a right to be here, and then once they tell us why they're here, we'll direct them where they need to go. So staff just take some very initial steps to support each other and reminding each other that as people walk in, of any age actually, You know, if you don't know who they are, if it's a child, you know what to tell them to do. If it's a staff member, you know what to tell them to do. They know where they belong, and if they have to have identification, they have it with them. If it's somebody who you don't know, you find out is it, you know, friend or foe, but in a friendly way. And the foe part is, like, you don't want a child abuser walking in with bad intentions. I mean, that's the whole reason why people sign in. But that's such a tiny, tiny, tiny incident if you compare it to the thousands of other, of most incidents, which is a person walking in, and how is that person received?
And if schools want to take up professional development to transform that climate,
yes. Well,
what is the value that this adds, and how is it done?
Well, first of all, when you poll the community, one of the things you always hear, because people will tend to remember the negative more than the positive, is, oh, that campus, forget it. That secretary, you go there, and, man, you know, she's really mean. I don't want to go back. She's okay. And there are support personnel, whether they're clerks or secretaries, that are not the friendliest in the world. And they have a lot of responsibilities, and in their mind, if you don't stop them and help them think it through, anything that they don't want is a bother. Any person walking in is an intrusion. Well, what you need to do, though, if you're going to have staff development, is, yes, you want them to understand the idea of customer service, as it's known in the private sector, applied to a public service in a public school. But you need to also help them look at their position and validate it. And that's very, very important, because in an institution where degrees are valued and titles are valued and is hierarchical, those at the bottom of that pyramid many times are unawarely treated as less than. And you might have a pattern of clerks and secretaries mistreating the person walking in, because that's a lower person on the totem pole in their eyes. So what you want to do, first of all, is help them validate who they are and why they're important, and they contribute important things to the school, even though they're not degreed teachers or certified administrators. You need to start there if you're going to have the conversation, okay, we value your job. You're a clerk in the library, in the front desk. You're an attendance clerk. You're a secretary. You've been a secretary for 30 years, overworked, underpaid. And let people talk about that, but also build a peer sense of, we have a professional responsibility, and it's an important one. If I'm a cafeteria worker, I'm important, okay? But then in that context, then you start saying, okay, and because our work is important and because school is important, what do we need to do to treat parents with dignity? Because after all, we would not have a job if parents did not have children to send them to us to school. But to get to that little syllogism, you need to first build the self-concept of staff that in many cases has been put down, ignored, talked as less than because they don't have a degree or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when you work in terms of the ethos of a campus, no matter how negatively that campus might be operating, you always have to look for the positive and the human beings that are there, because that's the only way they're going to listen. And in fact, what can happen is that support personnel can start from their these conversations in a workshop, draft their own customer service booklet based on their notion of what good service is, developed in the context of a workshop where they've looked at the conflicts in dealing with the public and stuff like that, but ultimately saying, yes, and our job is to serve the public and to serve the parents of the children that come to the school. Therefore, what do we need to do? So, you know, that's why, yes, school people need to understand about how to treat families with dignity, especially families that maybe socially are not treated with dignity because they're poor, they're minority, recent immigrants, whatever. All the more reason for school to treat them with full support and dignity. And also understand that the school has to treat its support personnel with dignity. In these workshops, when you're working with the secretaries and support personnel, one of the things that you'll hear, as they're, if they're enjoying the workshop and it's participatory and it's meaningful, as they're looking at customer service, they'll say, I wish our principal was here. I wish the teachers were here. We all need to think about this. We all need to hear it, which is a very good place to be.
How can a family member who feels like the climate in their school is either not welcoming to them or not welcoming to other parents, what can a parent or family member do to help be part of that transformation of the school climate from the front door?
Well, they can remind the school politely that they are the one being served. You know, that in our parent leadership, one of the things that is there from the get-go is, I am an equal partner. I need to partner with the school for my child to be a success. In fact, I'm not the cheap labor pool. I'm not the fundraiser. I am the parent who knows this child well, and I defend this child to have the best possible education. So it's that framework of, I come here with not only total authority, but without me, we can't succeed together.
I'm going to ask you just one last question, if I could, Aurelio, and that is, if you were to walk into what you would describe as an A-plus customer service, a school that's really, truly family-friendly, from the moment you enter it, what does that feel like and look like to you as you walk into that school?
I belong. I'm welcome. I might be a stranger. I've never been there, but I'm made to feel, we're glad you're here, and how can we help you? It's just, you fit. You fit.
Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. And I want to urge listeners to the podcast series to look up the parent leadership, family leadership model that Aurelio has spoken about extensively in other podcasts. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.